Okay.
Time on the clock is 9:09. We will convene the Board of Supervisors' regular meeting. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Open Meeting Act is posted on the southeast corner of the wall. Attendance by observation: Setzer, Byers, Lytle, Bauman, Dorn, Hill, Juergens. First thing on the agenda, or the next thing on the agenda, is the consent agenda. And the consent agenda consists of the general agenda, approval of minutes from the meeting held May 15th, 2013, approval of all claims through May 29th, 2013, in the amount of $555,914.35. Approval and place on file all correspondence received. And that is it for the consent agenda, items 1 through 4. Need a motion to approve or disapprove?
I would move to approve the consent agenda.
Moved by Byers.
Second.
Seconded by Lytle. Any discussion or consideration? Seeing none, vote. 7-0 to approve the consent agenda as presented. Next is the regular agenda, and comments for the public and requests for future agenda items related to the regular Board of Supervisors. Anybody from the public that wants to comment if you're not waiting for an agenda item? Nope. Next, we'll go to committee reports. Building and grounds?
Nothing really. Dave Jones will be gone from about the 1st or 2nd of June through the 12th, I think it is. So his associate will be in charge here, but he will be doing a wedding in Vermont, so he will be gone. And several of us will be gone, so we will not have a Building and Grounds Committee meeting before our next board meeting.
Just as a matter, I'll bring this up, and at some time we'll need to. The house over here, we got closed on whatever. And Dawn visited with me about, she's had people come in and talk, and to her, Dave's visited a little bit about maybe there's some things in there that courthouse or he could use, but other people have also expressed interest maybe in getting some things or buying some things out of there, or I guess more than anything, what are we going to do with the house? You know, originally some of our conversation was that maybe we're going to tear it down or something. And where that all comes about then is what the people have been visiting with Don. If it's going to be torn down, how do we handle that? Could we sell some of the stuff out of there before it's torn down and that type of thing? So that's something I think that the buildings and grounds will have to sometime in the future visit about what to do with or whatever.
Good suggestion.
Okay. Equalization.
Nothing.
Kind of beat that dead horse today, didn't we? More to come. Finance and insurance.
We're going to have an insurance committee meeting Friday at 9:30 after our other meeting. Visit with some of those guys again. Then the one other thing, this week we did close on the property across the street, the house that we bought there, and visited with the finance committee about it. The lawyer had visited with Don and through Roger and everything, and they were closing on it, I believe, on Thursday, and they felt they absolutely had to have a check. And so it was at a meeting, and Don and I visited, and she called the state auditor and visited with them about the fact that if we could get them a check that day, because they were closing on that house, and they were also closing on their house they were buying. And we did go ahead, after visiting with the state auditor, she happened to have enough money in her account to cut a check, and she did that. Then it did come through our claims process that we went through here today. And it now that check she'll just tear up or whatever. But we did pay them last Thursday, just so people know that and know what happened or whatever. Found out some other things later that they may not have had to have that check on Thursday, but at the time they were pretty adamant that they had to have that check on Thursday. So we did, through conversation with the state auditor, we did go ahead and okay and do that. So just so everybody knows that or whatever. Some of the other things is Don met with her last week one day and started talking a little bit about our budget coming up. And she went over some of the things so I understand them a little better. But we will start having some meetings more with Finance Committee, now not here on the 10th, but as soon as we can here, and start working on the budget so that after July 1st here and Lori gets us the numbers, we can start putting the budget together for next year and see how many funds are available and what we're able to do and those types of things. So I believe, Don, you said you sent out letters to the department heads to...
They've gotten a copy of their budget to start filling in for...
for next year, so that we can start working and see where they... where they'll end up for the coming year and how they did last year. But Lori, after our budget year ends here on July 1st, then we will have the numbers and be able to start working with those numbers as far as how their budget went for the past year. I know Gus visited with me, called me already and visited with me about a couple things on his budget for next year. So, but we'll, I know with Gus, one of the times at our law enforcement meeting, we'll probably visit specifically about the budgets, you know, his budget and everything. So that's a good place always to visit about that one. So working on it.
Thank you. Human resource, employee relations.
No report.
Law enforcement, emergency management.
I don't have anything, but I don't. Mark, did you have something you wanted to fill in on the weather here?
Yeah, just kind of update the board where we're at. As you know, we've had a few days of quite eventful weather, and looking for the next 2 days. We're just out of the moderate risk for today, but back in slight risk yet for tomorrow, too. So the river went up. If anybody went by the river, it got up to as high as 13.68. It's back down to 13.37. Our action stage is at 14 feet. That's usually when it comes into the Chautauqua Park. And other than that, up to 16-foot, there's another action step. And then at 20-foot, it usually goes over the highway. So we're plenty good there, and it is going back down a little bit. Although with the rainstorm we just had up north, we probably will see a little bit of an increase again. We were just in a thunderstorm warning until 9 o'clock, so that just expired. Monday's tornado activity that we had, we did have some damage. We've seen the tail end of the tornado that came out of Jefferson County. We had two very large funnels that I spotted south of Beatrice and west of Wymore. There was some power line damage in Gage County. Norse Public Power had an estimated about $12,000 damage to the power poles. I talked to Galen this morning. Looks like most of the damage we've seen on the roads was washouts, small spots of gravel, and nothing major there. So with that, I anticipated that we would probably do a disaster declaration, had the chairman sign that just till we have it on file because of the fact of, yeah, we still have several days of severe weather. So I still will ask the chairman to sign that, and we'll keep it on file just in case something does come back. But at this time, we don't anticipate asking for any financial from NEMA or from FEMA. So luckily, nobody was injured in those incidences. So, again, we're just watching the weather, keep monitoring it. All my deputies have been helping me throughout the weekend and in the last couple of days. So that's probably the biggest thing that's going on right now. So, okay.
Thanks, Mark.
Yep.
Stay put. Mark, stay.
Oh,
please.
Okay.
Please. We're going to, sorry, Terry, I always jump here. We're going to put you at the beginning of those committee reports. Let's jump ahead and let's have a discussion regarding the communications agreement. That's with the city for dispatch. We've met multiple times over the last year about this, and I see Gus and Mark. Sheriff, if you want to come up, if you've got anything to say, not to put you on the spot. You look comfortable, but we want to have a discussion about this. This is an agreement we have with the city. They provide communication services for dispatch. I guess, Mark, if you want to just start in at this.
We, as we, last year, the city approached us with the increase in our contract that we've had for several years with them for 911 dispatching. This includes the dispatching that they would do for the Sheriff's Department and for my office, my volunteers, and also the rural volunteer fire departments and rescue squads in the county. Several years ago, you know, this was all brought together, one common 911 center for several reasons. Personnel is one of the reasons, ongoing training, the requirements. the cost, so we didn't have two teletypes through the state patrol. Financially, I think it was a good decision in not have duplication of two processes in the county. Over the years, they've seen quite an increase. I'll probably put a plug in here for the communications officers that they have working. They're very professional. They continue to have training. They have a lot of training. It's not something they sit down there and you just walk in, sit down, and do their job. It's very stressful. They may sit there without a call for, half an hour, 45 minutes, but then they'll have an injury accident call. And with this technology and cell phones and such today, it's nothing for them to receive 20, 30 calls on an injury accident. And so they have to answer all them calls. They have to continually monitor. Right now, I think they have 6 screens that they monitor continuously with all the technology that they have. The cost of this have risen. They have a CAD system, a computer-aided dispatch system that they've purchased probably 5 years ago, I think it has been, and they do reports on that. That's what generates the calls for services. The ongoing maintenance on that is considerably went up. So we looked at call levels and see how many calls go out for the county that should be our portion of that, and they come up with a figure of a per call figure, and feel that we need to increase that contract. And so we're hoping that we reviewed it several times. I spent a lot of time on it. The sheriff spent a lot of time on it. We looked at past contracts. We've talked to other counties. We've looked at such thing as going our own dispatch center. We priced out some of that. Using the statewide radio system that's not 100% up yet, but we were thinking, well, maybe we can slide into this and possibly either use a jail staff member and then maybe augment it with another person or maybe put it over in the courthouse. We looked at that. That's going to cost us several hundred thousand dollars just to get started, and that's not an ongoing fee. So talking to a couple other emergency managers who operate the 911 centers in their counties and their regions, one a very large region, out in Ogallala, Keith County operates 6 counties 911 service. He felt that what we were being charged is very fair, so I feel comfortable saying that we come up with some figures, and I don't exactly have the exact figures what it's going to be. You have the contract that they just sent, Chairman. What the figures are going to be.
The proposed increase over 3 years will be $90,000 increase, and so they'll phase that in a third, a third, a third. It's a 3-year agreement, and so we'll see that. I think all parties involved had a little bit of sticker shock when we saw that, and that was, we had that meeting a year and a half ago, and I think in visiting with the city, we said, boy, let's give us a year here, and we rolled that contract for one more year with no increases at all. I think the general consensus from the committee was it's a service. We're actually buying into a service here, and their costs have gone up. So that I think the city is not asking for it all at once. They're saying let's do this over a period of 3 years. Again, just to reiterate, we did look at going on our own, and the cost became pretty insurmountable as we did that. You get into duplication. They provide a high-quality service.
And there's that funding form there. We looked at the funding that comes possibly from Public Service Commission, from your cell phone 911 and your landline telephones. The Public Service Commission does not allow that to be out to two different PSAPs, Public Service Answering Points. There's only Public Service Commission only allows funding for one in each county. And Beatrice already has that funding, so we would not be allowed to have any funding from the Public Service Commission to have our own standalone system. Just the equipment alone, when I priced that equipment out alone, to just even get the basic started is over $600,000. So we just didn't feel that was the way we wanted to go. We asked for some things to be added to the contract, some changes. So there was some changes that were made to help offset some of this that we requested. One of the things that's going to save some time, I guess, and some work is the fact that they're going to pay their own. We've continually over the past several years have paid the 911 phone bill. And then Public Service Commission reimburses the city for some of that. So then I have to take a copy of that phone bill. We pay our portion, they pay our portion, and because of our county board meetings and their city council meetings over the last several years, we've paid a late fee. We've continued to pay, and Windstream will not void that late fee out. And so there's one, we're going to not save a lot, but there's just the cumbersome of me having to physically make a copy, drive it down, approve it, and everything else is just one step out of that. The other thing is we don't have to divvy up the public or the surcharges anymore. We'll keep all that surcharge here, so that's one less hassle that Don, because we actually get some checks for like $3, and then we'd have to take that $3 and divide that in half, and half of that, and so it's just a cumbersome process that we eliminated by doing some of that. So there is some things that's going to save us some time and trouble in the process too. And I'm on the committee. One of the changes is that I was never on the 911 committee, and now and always attended them, I guess, or thought I was going to all of them, but I guess I wasn't. Now I'm on that committee also as a consultant to the services that we have. So, Sheriff, is there anything that you can think of? One of the things we're really pushing for them too, and that they're looking at doing is getting additional staffing there for coverage too. There is still a point where there's some points where there's only one dispatcher, not very often, but that can happen, and they're going to try to eliminate that process too. So.
This is my opinion, is this is one of those systems that kind of operates, if you're not directly involved in communications on a day-to-day basis, it operates kind of behind the shadows, if you will. But then when you pick up that phone and you make that call, you expect everything to go like that. And I would say for the most part, it does.
Yeah.
And that's the benefit to the general public. Now, one of the things I wanted to speak to is the cost there. That is based on a percentage of usage. And that was that 25% that we used. So the total cost of running their facility, and they provided that to us. I was flipping through papers here.
They based on calls, and they figured they knew or figured up their cost based on calls, and then on our, I believe the way they came up with the figure was the number of calls attributed to, say, the county or the sheriff's department.
And fire rescue. It was 28%.
Yeah.
If you take my office, sheriff's department, and the county fire and rescue departments, that's a 28% of the budget, of their budget.
Their budget.
So that's what we'd be paying for,
yeah,
based on their on call level. I think their budget said about 500 and... almost $600,000 budget down there just for that department, so...
And they, I think they appreciated the increase on us, and that's why they spread the increase over 3 years. Don't take the hit all at once. But
well, the other thing we did too is inventory. We've never really had a true inventory of who does what and who takes care of what. I still will take care of the 17 sites throughout the county that we have, and also all the warning sirens in the county, but they also took responsibility of some of the equipment, the main equipment that they're responsible for now. Although we also, the county through Homeland Security has purchased all that equipment. So the complete console system down there and the main repeater and the administrative repeater and Beatrice Fire and Rescue repeater, they will maintain that, but we did originally purchase that through Homeland Security funds, so. And I will still help them when they have issues with communications, as they did this weekend. So,
and the but the portion that we pay here covers communications for, other than the city of Wymore, for all the outlying volunteer squads,
right,
that are out there. The county pays, right, for that. And if they've got a problem, even though it's the city's service, who do they call?
Me.
Call Mark. So,
the city of Wymore. City Police Department, City of Wymore, the Wymore EMS, and Volunteer Fire Department have a separate contract, so we do not pay for anything out of the City of Wymore services. So, but we handle everybody else, and I take care of all the issues for that. So,
and we've spent quite a bit of time visiting with the city and individually with the law enforcement and emergency management committee, going over this, and I think it's better. And with the changes to the committee, there's a, I know we discussed about trying to meet, even though it says at least annually or semi-annually, though there's a desire to visit more often, because there are a lot of things that change with communications that need to have more communication, yes, going on. So So this is just for discussion this time, so that everyone could see it. In Roger's spare time, we'll have him put his seal of approval on it. It'll show up in a couple weeks for approval. So if you need any more questions answered, talk to Bruce Lang at the city or call Mark or the sheriff and go from there.
And we just feel that we had the year to review it. We reviewed it, looked at several options, and I think at this time we did the right thing. Our options that we had available to us at this time. So,
okay. Any more questions for Mark? Thank you, Mark.
Thank you,
Gary. Yes.
My comment I got is that I think at this point it looks like it's probably a pretty good idea for us to continue on in this process, even though there is an added expense. I guess the one good point is that they do provide us a good service. And they are a highly efficient group down there. And at some point, if that were to change, all of a sudden maybe that $700,000 price tag isn't so expensive anymore. But at this point in time, I think this is a good agreement and a good process that we're going through.
Terry, we'll go back to committee reports, Road and Bridge.
Well, being Terry was absent at the committee report, I'll turn it over to Myron and John.
Did you sleep in? What'd you do there?
Still dry then.
Yeah, I was still dry.
He knew it was going to rain for 3, 4, or 5 days, so he stayed home and planted or whatever. So Deborah updated us some on the Wymore Bridge down there, and I believe they have started construction on the 20th or whatever. I believe there's one pole down there yet, or some poles or some wires, that you pulled to the side. That even got taken care of. So all the poles, the utility poles have been moved, and it was with their cable system, cable TV system and stuff, some wires. But they got moved, too, so that's good. And there is a supplemental agreement here that we're approving yet here, too, at our meeting.
Yes.
Then the Philly Bridge. A couple of landowners have made counteroffers back, and those are up at the state, and we're waiting to see how the state, if the state makes an offer back or if they accept those or whatever. So we're moving forward on the Philly Bridge project. We had some discussion about a little bit of a timeline. If things would fall in place and all the agreements get done with the landowners, then at some point in time here this summer we will go to bid letting or whatever. So, and Galen thought, maybe the earliest is in July, maybe August, or it just depends on when it's going to be. Go ahead, Deborah. Yeah, you're more than free to come out and talk. So, because you might have another update on that even.
I do, actually. I'm Deborah Marshall with Gage County Highway Department. And we actually have two landowners on the Philly project that have settled. So they're already, one, I've got all the paperwork done. The other one will have all the paperwork signed at the beginning of June. The third landowner is still reviewing and will be back with me this week. The letting date, I actually heard from the NDOR this morning, and we get everything done on right away. We'll be letting September 5th.
September 5th.
So we'll start construction in the spring.
Spring of next year on the Philly Bridge project. That'll be some good news because mm-hmm. A lot of people have been asking, and especially going around with some of these meetings for the road bond projects, sometimes we've had as many questions about the Philly Bridge project.
Right.
And this is some good news. So
it
that
is.
We actually have a date then now and everything.
Yes,
so
do.
Wonderful.
Yes.
And stuff. So, well, good deal.
Mm-hmm.
The Coke 89th Road out there at Coke, Friday morning at 8:15, we opened the bids. Those have been put out for bids.
Correct.
That project has. It's been all done. Part of, didn't mention that, but part of in the finance here, part of that is in our bills this week where Minnelli turned in his bills for his part of that 89th road that we pay, and then that will be reimbursed here coming forward for that 89th project. But he hadn't turned those in before or whatever for his whole engineering service on that 89th road, but I know there were a couple bills, I believe, from
Manali. That is correct, and Coke has asked if we can put one of those bills onto the our first bill to them, our first invoice to them,
okay.
And Manali's fine with that.
So. Good deal. So, accepting bids, especially on the 31st, and we'll approve those on the 12th then. those bids for that project. But we're doing opening them on the 31st so that our highway department and Mark, they have time to review those and go over those.
So just to confirm that time, that's this Friday. Get here at 8. We'll open those 8:15, I believe, was the mm-hmm. So we'll open the meeting and we'll
they close at 8:10.
So they close at 8:10. So we'll get here at 8 and we'll get started when the times come up. So we'll sit around for a little bit. But Terry said he'd bring donuts. So
all right.
We'll have. Sorry, I just want to make sure we had that time clear. So okay. Sorry.
Just a couple other things in on the Hickory Road. Deborah, they're working on the railroad there on Hickory Road. Mm-hmm. She's contacted some people at the state to help her contact the people with the railroad. They get their communications together so we find out going forward with the Hickory Road project, what needs to be done or what they will require us to do there with the railroad if as far as crossing and stuff. So,
if I may add, I'm going to go back to the Coke Road. We received the signed, complete, fully executed copy of the Memorandum of Understanding. Came in yesterday, and I brought a copy up for Don to have in her file.
So well, good.
That's good.
Yes. The Philly North. Part of what's come up with this bond issue, one of the discussions we had was it's about a half, three-quarters miles north. We call it the Greg Dorn Bridge down there at the bottom of the hill there. And that is not in the Philly Bridge project itself. But if the road bond issue will, if it passes or whatever, that bridge, we've had quite a few people ask, are we going to leave that or not? So if the bond issue would pass, Manelli's engineering firm is going to come down and size that and everything and to see if we could put tubes in or culverts or what else, or if something can be done to that. That's the only bridge on the Philly Adams Blacktop, and see if something could be done in this process. But if it doesn't pass, we're not going to do that or whatever. But
I'd like to correct you and say when it passes.
When it passes, okay.
Like
that's a better way to.
That's good. I like the way.
When it passes, well, good. They're going to start asphalt patching on June 1st, and they've been working on some crack sealing. On 176 Road southeast of Adams there, they worked pulling up the shoulders. Knew it was going to start raining when they started doing that, and by golly, it has or whatever.
Right.
But, yeah, they've got several miles done out there. Still working on a wage scale for the highway department, visiting with about that. And then we put down there at the bottom, we finished at 9 o'clock to tell Terry that normally it goes to 9:30 at least. So.
I think I'm going to stay away from now.
No, you're not. So, and Deborah, unless you have something else
I
to add.
I do not. Thank you for letting me share.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Let's go on to Rick Nation, Blue Valley Community Action Annual Report, please.
I have one of them.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
I'm Rick Nation, the CEO of Blue Valley Community Action, and this is our annual report on the activities that we've done for the year. There's a couple of little attachments that are attached at the back. One of them is a little information about our board, and then in the inside right of that, you'll see some of our current vacancies, and the only vacancy in Gage County would be the county board, has the opportunity, if they wish, to put an alternate on the board as well. Kathy's representing you now, but we do not have an alternate from the county, so that's, you have one potential seat that you are not accessing at the moment, so thought I would tell you that. The other sheet is just a little bit of information that's, earmarked just for Gage County, and it that one sheet just has some data from our annual report, but it's more specific to the county. The annual report is an agency-wide report. And so getting to the annual report, I'd like to So I've got to put my eyes on here for a second so I can read what I'm saying. On page 3 in the annual report, you'll see that the total number of people we've served is over 14,600 people. And of those, only 26% own their own home. That's sort of, and 65% rent. That's sort of opposite from the general population. The general population in Nebraska tends to own their own homes. Our clients tend to rent. And so I think that's probably because they don't have the assets and the wealth to purchase a home. The racial makeup, obviously, of our area is predominantly Caucasian, and 96% of our clients are also Caucasian. The only growing minority that we really have, well, other than what is called multiracial, that's starting to grow. In an ethnic sense, the Hispanic population is growing and is now up to 17% of our clientele. That is, that's somewhat concentrated in Saline County, but it is growing in a lot of the other counties as well, including Gage. What I might consider good news is the insurance issue. At the bottom of page 4 there, you will see that there's two items that I think are interesting. The children's health program, the number of our clients with the children's health program has actually dropped almost the same amount that the Medicaid has increased, so that's almost a wash since it's both in Medicaid. But the big numbers are the people with no insurance is down, while the people with private insurance is way up. And that's a change in the trend for the last 10 years. We have been seeing it just the opposite for the last 10 years in our information. So that's possibly a good sign. I don't know. Maybe something is happening in healthcare I'm not completely aware of. Maybe it's something to do with all the changes. I don't know. But on page 5, I just wanted to, as we begin talking about our specific programs, the commodity program is one of the larger programs, and we have over 1,300 people a month served by that program. And I believe, I have the information on that one for the, yes, and there's about, there's 276 just here in Gage County. Emergency assistance on page 6 is probably something you'd be concerned about, because this is our emergency assistance. This would help prevent the county with some expenses, general assistance type expenses. We always ask the county, the people in the county, to send people to us first. And if we can't help them, then of course they can come back. But if we try to deal with that before, sort of look at it as a partnership with the county. So, we have been able to save you a few dollars by doing that. And we use primarily private contributions to do that. So, On page 7, this would be what I'd call a small program with a big impact. Our first program is a program where we take homeless with families with children and try to change their whole lifestyle around. And while there's only 16 families enrolled in the program, the fact that we have a 50% of the enrollees improving their financial situation, and 63% having permanent housing after 3 months after the program even, is an indication that there's quite a bit of success. Now, that may not seem like a lot of success at 50% and 63%, but considering the situation with these particular families and the challenges they face, that's actually a pretty good number. And so we're pretty pleased with that, with the success of that program, even though it's a very small program. But it's a huge challenge trying to change the lives of those folks. On page 9, I want to talk a little bit about our weatherization program. We have did 114 houses last year, and 31 of them were in Gage County. We also did seven furnaces. We replace furnaces occasionally. If we come across a house that has a furnace that could be dangerous, and then maybe we replace it. And so we replaced seven furnaces, which, I mean, in the long term could have been a real health issue for folks. We also put in three new water heaters in the county. This program, unfortunately, has had a major problem with funding. During the stimulus, the American Recovery Act, we got a lot of money for weatherization. We did a lot of homes. But because they had so much stimulus money, the Congress actually cut the program by two-thirds on the regular program. And then when the stimulus went away, the program was only at one-third its former size. And then they put the sequestration on top of that. So we are really looking at a major reduction in weatherization for the next, don't know how many years this sequestration is going to go, but it's planned for 10. That could be very damaging to that particular program. We've already let seven people go in that program because of the cuts. Just thought you ought to know that. It's not a good thing, I don't think, because it's one of those programs that actually does help with the value of houses, which impacts taxes and everything else. So that does have an impact on the counties as well. Our rental program is on the next page here, 10. You know, you can see that we do quite a few families. And in this particular county, we've constructed 69 units, which is out of our 191. So you have almost a little more than a third of our total housing is in Gage County. The Women, Infant, and Children program on page 11 is our largest program. They serve 1,626 individuals for that particular program. Immunizations, we don't operate the programs here in Gage County, but we do operate them in three or four other counties. So that number is just partial area. I'm not going to go through every one of our programs but I would like to turn to page 13 and talk about Head Start, because Head Start's another one of those programs that took a pretty big hit with the sequestration. In fact, we had to close one of our centers, let four or five staff go. I guess it was six altogether. And what we're trying to do, that meant 17 kids would be not served. But what we tried to do is we're working with both the Beatrice Public Schools now, and we're working with the Wymore School System to try to see if we can expand our program by using some of the money that's available to the schools and using our Head Start standards. We have 1,700 standards in Head Start, but it makes for a quality program. And so if the schools work with us and we can get the quality of the programs up, we get more kids served and actually for less cost to us. So that's one of the things we're dealing with there. I'm going to turn to page 16 now. And one of the things that I want to point out is our Friends of Blue Valley. It's what we call our volunteer program. We have had a little drop in our number of volunteers, but we've had an increase in the number of volunteer hours. So the people who are volunteering for us are actually putting in quite a bit of time. When we've had people who put in more than 2,000 hours of volunteer time in a year, which is hard to believe. You think that's practically a full-time job. But we do have a few of those, actually. As you can see, the number of volunteer hours there is over 62,000 hours in a year. And that saves us almost two-thirds of $1 million of potential expenses if we had to put that into staffing. While the economy has been bad and while the federal government has cut a lot of funding, our private funding is up, and that's the one bright sign. So people are actually being more generous, even in tough times. So that is good for us. And We are particularly thankful to the churches. Most of them contribute. Not all of them, but most, a lot of them contribute to our pantries and that type of thing. So it's a little different in Gage County, where you have the main pantry being St. John's, but in most of the counties that we serve, Blue Valley's pantry is the main pantry in the county. On page 18 is something new. We haven't talked about our staff much, but we did a little bit of our own staff information there. You can see the little charts and things there. Pretty much we reflect the makeup of our community. Of course, the number of women working for us seems to be at a higher level than the general population, and because if it was the general population at 94% women, we'd be in trouble probably. But we're sort of us, the few males in the Blue Valley, that we're a little outnumbered. And the other,
I think you should take a moment, Rick, to introduce Heather, who actually runs the agency.
Heather Lytle is my administrative director, and without her, I would be hopeless. Helpless.
Thank you, Heather.
The age group, of course, is a little off kilter, too, because we serve a lot more children than we actually employ. So on pages 19 and 20, this is what we do, a community survey. And all of the community action and agencies in Nebraska, and there are nine, got together with our state association, and we have been doing for the last 3 years a statewide survey using scientific things from used to start out with Wayne State College, but it's gone into private now. We survey all of the state, and we put out 10,000 surveys in the state, and we got 40-some percent return the first year in our area, so that was really good. The information the first year was general information on all kinds of topics. The second year we did it on what were the way people handled their money. How did they invest? What did they do with their money? And what kind of barriers did they have for doing things with their money and saving and that kind of thing? This year, or 2012, we did it on employment and what barriers there were to employment. So this information is all about employment type stuff. Next year we'll go back to our total area general kind of survey, and we'll be doing that every year now. So that'll be something that we do, is that helps each of the agencies by finding out the needs, because we break it down by the service areas as well as the statewide. So and you can see some of the comparisons there on the in some of the cases with the statewide information and the local Blue Valley information. Most of it is pretty close to the same kind of things. Blue Valley people seem to want more computer skills than in the whole state, but not by much. Same thing with college courses. They'd like more, but not by much. The thing that I guess I'm the most disturbed about this information is that in the bottom right, you'll see a little statement there that 48% of people who respond to our survey, and this is all income levels, were not pleased or not happy with their, satisfied with their current employment, which I thought that was sort of a high figure. I was somewhat surprised by that number. Maybe that's because I like my job, but I don't know. But it just seemed odd to me that many people were dissatisfied. But I guess it's still a minority, but still pretty close. The next two pages are our financial situation. This is where we're at. What I always like to point out on the pie chart of revenues that you see on page 22 is that little 1% share that is local government. That is the amount of money that the counties, primarily the counties, we have a couple of cities to help out, but mostly it's counties, contribute to us, and it's a voluntary contribution, and so we always appreciate it. But that is the share. So you get a pretty good return for an investment. $1 of county support, we bring in $148.80 of outside money. So that is a nice, fairly good return. We are one of the better leveraging county dollars in the state of the community action agencies. The next couple pages are just the various locations of our offices. We have, and these are our main offices. There are some sites that we use for other things. And then the final page is some acknowledgments on some of our donors, not all of them, because a lot of our donors are smaller and we don't have enough pages to write all of their names on it. So, is there any questions or any comments?
Well, the last page, page 25, has a very good picture of a county supervisor reading to kids at Head Start.
Yeah. You noticed that, don't you?
I didn't notice that.
I should have pointed that out, huh? We do appreciate Denny's many years as our board member, but we're very happy with Kathy now. So Kathy doesn't argue with us about the time of our meetings as much.
Oh, yeah. I need to mess with Kathy.
Any questions at all? I have something. I don't know, Dawn, do I give these to you, or do I give them to the chairman of the finance committee, or
is that your
budget
request?
Yeah.
I made copies for everybody.
Need a motion to place the report on file?
So moved.
Moved by Byers.
Second.
Seconded by Lyle. Vote 7-0 to approve.
Thank you, folks.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Rick.
I see you again.
Thanks, Heather.
Next on the agenda, I need a motion to approve or disapprove. Let's see, this is a supplemental agreement for the Wymore project, BR-32655, project 12299 in Wymore, agreement supplement number 2. And there's a motion to have me sign that. Need a motion to approve or disapprove.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Dorn.
Second.
Seconded by Juergens. Discussion.
Deborah,
could you just maybe give us a... This has to do with that bridge.
Originally, our program with the state and our federal aid projects would allow for an 80, I believe an 80-10-10 split. And this new program now allows for a still 80 with federal and 20 out of the state bridge fund will be paid for, and that waives our portion for the county. There's no money coming from the county on this project now. And this is for the construction and construction engineering side of this. It doesn't go back to the beginning. It just starts at this construction phase and construction engineering.
So this is the agreement, and then you'll see the next item will actually be the resolution for the project. So this will... This one is just to sign the agreement to be part of the program.
That's true.
Okay. So I need a motion to... I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Questions for Deborah? Seeing none, vote. 7-0 to approve. Next is the actual approval of resolution number...
13-15.
13-15 for BR-32655, project number 12299. Need a motion to approve or disapprove resolution.
I'm going to make a motion to approve.
Moved by Juergens.
Second.
Seconded by Hill. Any more discussion? Seeing none, vote. 7-0 to approve. Just as a comment, because we're here, in Road and Bridge, we talked a couple weeks ago, wanted to know, we talked about these soft match dollars, and those are credits that we get that we build up, and Galen gave us a balance of $309,000, roughly, that we have for soft match dollars, and those are... can be used, not on this particular, we'll have those for other programs, and that'll be our credit that we can use. And it's this nebulous bank account that's out there someplace, that it's not actual cash, it's just kind of...
As an example, our bridge inspections, we can use our soft match money for that. So.
And those, I don't believe, those don't show up as part of a budget. Those are something else that's out there that aren't part. We don't have to show that expenditure because it's a program outside of our budget.
What's nice is all three of our federal aid bridge projects are now under this same program. There's no money from the county on this part of participation. It's just from federal and state money now, so it's good.
Thank
Anything
you.
Else? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Next on the agenda is discussion on the Gage County Tourism Agreement. I believe this is a 3-year agreement that we have with... the Actors Chamber of Commerce. They've done it. Jim's been on the hook with us for 4 years. You came in mid-contract once, didn't you?
Yeah, about 3 years.
So maybe I'd have Jim Nelson and Jim Spangler come up, and if there's any questions about this, just wanted to have a discussion. This contract is up the end of June, I believe. Is that right, Jim?
End of June.
So if there's any discussion, I believe it's been a good relationship, and I guessed 12-year association, I think.
I went back last night, and then this morning we... when the occupation tax was approved, initially the county contracted with the chamber, and the chamber initiated a tourism program, or basically running it, and that went on for several years, and then I'm not sure what year that contract came to an end and was terminated, and the county hired their own employee to run the program for a number of years. Then in 2005-2006, the county came back to the chamber and wanted to know, I think this was after you lost your employee and hadn't been able to fill the position, and asked the chamber to consider contracting again. In May, my notes indicated there was an agreement that was signed on May 24th of 2006 to start on July 1 of 2006. Initially, that was a one-year agreement with automatically extending it each year. That agreement was for a flat fee of $40,000. Then there was an addendum done in August of 2007 rather than a flat fee. As you're aware, I think the tax is 5%. The state keeps 1% for administration. 4% comes to the county. Then in August of 2007, the concern that we had was, quite frankly, the chamber was subsidizing some months for the tourism program when we were on a flat fee, because occupation tax varies each month. And August 27th of 2007, we did an addendum with the county just setting it basically 2%. So as the 4% comes in each month, half of that is paid to the chamber to administer and run the program. June of 2008, there was a second agreement that basically extended it again for 1 year through June of 2008. Then in February of 2009, we started having discussions at the chamber board level about, you know, going on a one-year, year-to-year agreement makes it hard to do long-term planning when you've got, we don't know whether, you know, if we start arranging for things and making financial commitments, whether we'll be here next year with the contract. We started that winter in February asking the county through the county attorney's office to consider a three-year contract that would then automatically extend another 3 years unless either party gave 60, 90 days notice. That was the contract that was proposed in February of 2009, or January, February of 2009, and then it came back, and I went through my notes. Mr. Rittenauer's office said, well, we've talked to the chairman of the board at that time. We think maybe a two-year rolling contract, so basically a four-year with a two-year out, and that was the agreement then that was signed on February 25th of 2009. That ran for the first 2 years, and then obviously it automatically renewed, and that's the one that comes up for renewal.
It's the rolling agreement, the two-year.
Yep. And initially, we thought we wanted to plan for a three-year kind of budgeting, but we've been doing a two-year budgeting now since 2009. What was submitted, and Mr. Harris and I talked about this, we don't want a gap in the agreement, because that did occur at one time where, quite frankly, the chamber had to front the money on a couple months because we didn't have an agreement in effect. So we wanted to make sure we had plenty of time to get it to the board. So that's why we started back in January. I think Mr. Harris and I exchanged the agreements back in December, and it's been ready to go since January. Basically, it just renews the same agreement for another two-year period, and then at the, I think it's 90 days notice, it automatically renews for another two-year period unless either party gives notice of termination. I did find a little chart. As Roger knows, I probably am a hoarder and I don't throw much away. I'm going back to, and I'm sure I got this from the clerk's office or somewhere, the lodging tax for Gage County, that 4%. Back in 1995, the total was $22,800. And it's fluctuated back and forth. It looks like it fluctuated between $22,000 and $40,000, and then ended up in 2003 back down to $31,000. And I'm not sure what took off in 04. Went up to $81,000, back down to $75,000, 06 back up to $81,000. I asked Angie this morning in a meeting what's coming in now. And Don, you probably have the better figures, but we're right at $150,000 a year, aren't we now? The total 4%.
I was going to say it may not be quite that high, but it's well over 100 anyway. I know.
So, I mean, bottom line is you look at how do you measure success, and occupation tax is based upon how many heads do we have on a bed, and if we're increasing the number of heads on beds. I guess you could maybe call that one measure of success. And it's looks like it's been close to doubled. And I think it's been a good relationship. Jim, I don't know, the last couple years you've had some, I don't know whether it's luck or just hard work has finally come through to fruition with some of the conference, you know, the hog rally, the motorcycle, the Springer Spaniel trials. Those things have brought, basically, it's been impossible to get hotel rooms for several days while they're here. So, would ask your consideration. Chamber's willing to renew it for as long as you'd like to, and most certainly for the 2 year with a 2 year roll.
Question for either of these two gentlemen? Just wanted to have that discussion. We knew that was coming up, so appreciate you coming. And
yeah, and I'll bring up just, I know in one of our committee meetings, Mark Mike talked about they were going to have a statewide emergency management meeting here or something. They picked a date in August. They couldn't have it. The motel rooms were all full. They had to move it a couple weeks or something. I can't remember exactly the dates, but
in October, no. Yeah.
And it's in October, yeah. But I mean, that's some of the things that have come about. I mean, it's just interesting to hear those stories.
It's a good problem to have.
Yes.
Yep. And
yes.
I just want to say with Jim here that, you know, Jim does an excellent job, just so you're all aware. I know Myron's been on this, on the board, or I mean, with Jim's group like I am now, and Jim does an excellent job. He's like a bulldog. When you tell him that there's something coming, it's just like what Myron was just talking about. I told Jim that this was going to be coming. He says, oh, thanks, I didn't know about that. And, you know, within a matter of days, I talked to him again, and he already had a bunch of information on what's going on, and had talked to Mark already, and I mean, he gets things rolling. He really goes after, and he does an excellent job. So I think I think everybody should know that Jim does an excellent job down there.
At the chamber meeting they had last week, I think it's important to recognize the association with the Engage group and the chamber and the tourism all being under one house and how they work together. And as I make my rounds out in the county to the small village meetings, I see Bill and Jim periodically at those meetings as well. So there is that outreach even after hours and some of the less glamorous things. You got to go out and make those contacts and put information out there. And I think that presence has been appreciated out there.
Yeah, at the risk of my Beatrice School District voters, I had to miss the last meeting to go to the Liberty Village Board meeting. So once in a while those conflicts occur.
He's even gone to Gothenburg this last
week. Yeah, we had a brochure swap where it's an opportunity for us to trade information, brochures. And
is that like a Tupperware party?
Yeah.
Is it fun? Is it, what do you do?
I had to leave at 4:30 in the morning, so it wasn't as fun as a Tupperware
party. In the brochure
party,
on the representative, or what do you do?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know, but thank you for your efforts. So it'll come up in a couple weeks to approve that, because this agreement is up. And again, I think Roger's seen it, so it's just a matter of making yourself familiar. Call Jim if you've got questions, or Roger.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Let's see. Just to reiterate, our meeting on Friday should be quick. Last thing on the agenda, if there's nothing else, is, again, we want to go to closed session to discuss FOP. If we're getting closer and closer on that. I want to discuss a few things, get everybody up to speed. So Anything else for the good of the order at this point? We're not going to adjourn, but there's no action afterwards.
On Friday, there won't be any action taken. It's just that we open the bids.
Right. Okay. So I need a motion then to go into a closed session to discuss the FOP necessary for the protection of the public interest and prevent needless injury to any reputation of any potential individual.
So moved at 10:08.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Second by Byers. Vote 7-0. Quick couple minutes if someone's got to run to the potty, and then we can jump right in.
Humidity has got to get paper off those dudes.
But I think that's it. I think we've
Well. Yeah.
You ready yet?
Yep.
10:54. I'd like to make a motion to come out of closed session.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Second by Dorn. Any more discussion? Seeing none, vote. 7-0 to come out of executive session. Anything else for the good of the order of the Board of Supervisors? Anybody say what they needed to? If you see none, we'll adjourn. 10:54. Have a good week.
Okay.